morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm glad you're able to make it with the time change and last night. We'll praise the Lord. Let's all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. We'll ask our brother Eric if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come humbly before you knowing that there's nothing good in us this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you because we know that's the only name that we can approach you without the fear of being rejected, Lord.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, humbly receive our prayers and supplications.
Yes.
As we recognize that without you, O Lord, we cannot do nothing right, Lord.
Yes.
Father, again, as we approach you this morning, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive us of all our sins.
Yes.
And may the precious blood cleanse our sins away.
Yes.
Purify her, sanctify her before thy presence. Again, use the servant to speak to us, Lord, because we recognize that we come to you with all our shortcomings,
yes,
our transgressions, and only thy word can sanctify, purify us before you, Lord. Again,
yes,
we humbly submit into thy will. Let thy will prevail over us, and again, let everything be done for the preeminence of thy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, starting with verse 1, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And the scripture reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't get tired of this subject, right? It's good. All right. So, again, speaking of the maturity, so we're talking about children, and then also us as children, and continue on the subject to further develop about bringing children up to maturity. And so before we delve into the subject, I felt led to just go on the scripture here, if you don't mind, before we go into the child training type stuff. Matthew, if we can turn to the book of Matthew. Forgive me for saying stuff. I know that's not a technical term there. Forgive me. Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18, starting with verse 15 and going through verse 19. And the scripture reads, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." Amen. Praise the Lord. We know this scripture. I believe many of us are familiar with it. And this is just a scripture of how the Lord wants us to handle discipline in the church. Now, I bring this up because as we move along as a family, as brothers and sisters, whether, you know, it's in our own internal family or in our church family, needless to say, there's going to be times that we offend each other. Can everybody say amen to that? Or you've never been offended? Or I might invoke what the brother said last night, are we all angels? But we all have done that. We have all been offended before, right? And so it's going to happen with each other because the devil attacks in the midst. And sometimes people, we as human beings, we get in the flesh sometimes. Sometimes as human beings, because of circumstances or maturity level, that people say things that they don't mean, right? And so it happens, and, you know, all of us are susceptible to it, myself included, Brother Mike included, Brother Moses included, I'm sure, because, you know, did Moses make mistakes? Did Brother Branham make mistakes? So surely our pastor makes mistakes once in a while. Of course, I make plenty of mistakes. Do you make mistakes? Sure, we all do, right? And so the thing of it is, when there's offenses that come, most of the time with brothers and sisters, it's not intentional, right? It's just a misunderstanding. And Brother Branham talks about it, 90% of the time when it happens in the church, it's because of a misunderstanding or the devil's got in there. But of course, God always gives a remedy for all these situations. And so, as a brother was saying, that the word is our protection, right? And it's our remedy, it's our cure. So when we have problems and things, then the answer is always in the scriptures. It's always in the word. And if we just apply the word, everything will come out just right. And so, as the word sometimes comes forth, whether it was last night, whether, you know, Brother Mike preaches it from the pulpit, whether I am teaching here in Sunday school, sometimes the word offends, right? And sometimes we take it and, you know, depending on how it's angled or how it is received, I guess, then sometimes we say, Lord, it hurts, but let me take this on, Lord, because let me look internally. And sometimes we take it or we get offended by it, and then we go get mad at the preacher, right? And so then what happens is that, you get mad at the preacher, and then now you're having difficulty receiving what's being preached, right? And so it's the devil trying to block, right? Because God is wanting to speak through, but then the devil's got in there to get the situation to a complex or something like that. And so what does the scripture then say? So God gives us an answer, right? And so if there is an offense, you know, if I offended you, if Brother Mike or anybody else, or just a brother or sister, it says, if they have, then to go to that person and to talk one-on-one, right? It doesn't say to talk to another brother or another sister about it. You see, if we do that, there's going to be problems, right? It may be good intention that we want to bounce the idea off of somebody and say, you know, am I thinking wrong or something? It may be good intention. And, you know, a lot of times we have good intentions, but it may not be the will of God. And so when that happens, then maybe a bad feeling starts to develop. And maybe a cancer starts to grow. And then there's disunity in the congregation, right? So it develops into a few pockets of brothers and sisters who are thinking or have some complex about an individual. You understand what I'm saying? And so, of course, they don't have the person that's actually said it to explain what they were thinking or what was going on to get the other side of the story. But as you know, it's a devil, so it develops into that way, and so there's a wall that develops. You see how this is going. And so, as Brother Mike was preaching last Sunday, talking about how God wants unity in the congregation. Now, I'm going to read a quote from Brother Branham here. So, In Question and Answers 1954, Brother Branham says this, mentions this, then if I see four or five pulling on one thing. Now I'm going to skip over that. And the main thing above everything, main thing above everything is to keep the church in harmony and in the love of God. And moving on, if we can all believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness, if the woman sitting next to you or the man sitting next to you, if he doesn't believe that Jesus will actually come visibly again, let's just believe it and go right ahead anyhow. So there's going to be people that in the church that believe different ways, right? Is that understandable? You know, somebody has a different angle that they're looking at it, right? And maybe they were brought up a certain way, and so they have this mindset. And so when it's spoken a certain way, or somebody says they believe it a certain way, then the initial reaction is you want to prove that you're right, right? And so let me correct this person. So depending on the maturity level of somebody, when you present that, they may or may not take it well. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so then that's, I believe that's why Brother Branham says you're going to have differences in things, and you really have to be led of the Spirit to address certain things sometimes, because God knows how to address these things. And so if we're led by the Spirit, then God gives us wisdom and to handle each of these situations in love. And so he says, so there's going to be differences. We don't agree with him on the scripture, but let's make the church move on for harmony. Because in there, we're going to catch some more people. So maybe Brother Francis doesn't believe the rapture the same way I do. So does that mean I'm just going to say that, hey, you know, Brother Francis is, he's not with it. Maybe he's not bright or something like that, just because he understands it a little bit different. Well, how long did it take you and I to get certain revelations, right? It took patience, right? And then walking in this way, and then God said, showed us, and then, I understand it, right? So you may not, we may not always have all the answers. So he may understand it and have a stronger revelation on that than I do. But the thing of it is that we've got to have patience and love for one another, that we all have different levels of understanding, okay? Now, but when the church is out of harmony, then you hurt the church. Then you hurt the cause. So you can see this in, like, you know, marriages, perhaps. You know, the husband thinks he's right. The wife thinks she's right about a certain issue. Has anybody ever ran into that that's married? So, but they both think they're right, but they're a little bit different. And so because they both think they're right, they won't reconcile with one another, right? And so what does it take to really bridge that gap? It is somebody reaching over and saying, let me just put aside that I think I'm right, and I just want to bridge this gap here and have harmony. Brother Moses did this when the Israelites, they were doing wrong. And so God was going to destroy them. God was perfectly right to destroy them, right? But Moses bridged the gap. He stood in the gap. And that's what Christ is. He stands in the gap. And he provides the forgiveness and the grace when we didn't deserve it. And so he bridges that over so that there can be harmony again. And so I say that because, we will see these things. It was just pressed on my heart. And he says here, you hurt the cause because you just can't do it. But when we agree upon one thing, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's right. And sin is gone, and we're pretty close to home line then. So now, you and I, like we said, we understand certain, we're in time, we understand things a certain way. When, the right time comes, then we understand a little bit more. Now, we could be going also a wrong direction. And then the Lord has to correct us from going that direction. I think we mentioned it in here before. Like, so Paul was going the wrong direction, right? And the Lord called him and said, no, go over here. And we call it the Macedonia call, right? Brother Branham was going the wrong direction different times, but the Lord brought him into the right way, right? Because, you know, we may be sincerely wrong, right? But if we're sincere, the Lord will correct us and bring us in the right way. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm sure Brother Mike's made mistakes, but the Lord has corrected him. I've definitely been corrected on many mistakes, and I go a different direction, and the Lord opens my eyes. Now, I want to just mention this also. God also gives another part of grace in this whole endeavor about when we don't understand something. Now, God gives us God-called men. Specifically, God called pastors, right? Now, I'm going to read this from the message here. So, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, you know how Brother Branham talks about love one another above everything. And then he says this, and he says, and stay with your pastor. See, he's a shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through. And because he's ordained of God to do so. So now he's talking about a God-called pastor that you give him respects, he'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. So he may be a man, but if he's ordained of God to lead you, this is the instruction that God's giving. And so if you follow what your pastor is saying and the way that he's guiding you, then he'll lead you through. There's another quote. He led you up to the Holy Ghost this far. And, you know, I believe our pastor is leading us in that direction. And then he'll continue to lead you through. Now, also in the message in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Brother Branham says to expel your thoughts to your pastor. So you have an issue. You have something that's going on, something that's not right. God gives us an avenue to share that. Because remember, he's ordained to lead us through. So I felt led to just mention that because, you know, I believe the Lord wants us to keep things smooth, whether that's in our homes. Now, you can take this also and apply it to your homes. And we can also apply it to the congregation. And the congregation hopefully said, amen. Amen. Now we're going to go back to child training. Does that make sense for everyone? Amen. So if I have said something that you may have been offended by, please, you know, speak to me, you know, and I promise I won't bite. Yeah. And also at the same time, you know, if you did expel your thoughts to the pastor is going to lead you to the Word, and so it's all going to come out right. Amen. Amen. So, all right, here we go. Child training. Okay. So let's go into the maturity piece. So we've hit several different areas, defining what maturity is, different aspects of it, self-control, responsibility, wisdom, love with others, love for God, and we're going to, I believe, we have time only to hit a few other areas here. Now, I've been speaking a lot about the gentleman, right? Talking about Joseph being an example, talk about Daniel being an example, talk about Jesus, when he was 12, being an example of maturity. And so by God's grace, I want to also bring some sister examples. I'm sure the sisters would appreciate that. So when I was going through this also, something came to mind that, you know, as we're going through this, and I don't see as many young brothers, unfortunately, but, you know, we're looking at the qualities of a brother, and this could tie into courtship as well. So qualities that a sister should be looking for a brother as well. So all these qualities of maturity. And so we're hitting that. So that's like, a side benefit of going through this is that the sisters get a better picture of the man that they should be looking for, the qualities of the person and the gentleman. Of course, that's the goal that they're looking for. Now, and of course, as parents, also, that's the goal that we're trying to train our young men up to. Now, for the sisters, too, as we go through the qualities of a sister and what defines a mature sister, then the brothers can also look at that and say, like, oh, that's also the qualities of a good sister, you know. And so, amen. Y'all okay there? Okay. See some serious looks there. Okay, I just want to make sure you all are with me here. Amen. Okay. So, one of the areas, let me make sure I find a good place to kind of launch from here. Okay. All right, here we are. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of, let's see, which book was that one that we were going to go to? I believe it is, oh yeah, Proverbs. Chapter 31. How many of us are familiar with this scripture? Okay, some of us maybe? Okay, amen. So a lot of us may be familiar with it, but it doesn't ever hurt to go through it anyway. Proverbs 31, and we'll go verse 10, and I'm going to catch up here with you on an area. So I can have some expansion on some of these terms. Okay, so verse 10, I'm going to read it straight through, and then I'm going to go through each verse and kind of analyze it with you all together. So verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So now, just in our mindset, remember when we were talking about the different examples of young men that were mature and the qualities that they had, and then going through the book of Proverbs and seeing what defined maturity as Solomon was trying to instill that into his young sons, talking about how to avoid foolishness, avoid being slothful, being a sluggard, and those type of different things. Don't be a fool. Getting wisdom in this way, and talking about seeing how Daniel, Joseph, and all those characters displayed that. Now, looking at this, so we see that there's several different qualities. And so when we go down this, you can see that this person here, this example in Proverbs 31, there's a lot of different qualities and characteristics about this woman that we see are very good. You know, a virtuous woman. So when we break down virtuous, it means strength, might, efficiency, wealth, army. Remember the brother was talking about an army. And so she has power behind her. You know what I mean? And it's not her own power, but something gives her power. Now, when you see a virtuous woman, somebody that holds to herself, she keeps her morals, she keeps herself straight, she does the right things, she engenders respect, right? And so when you see different sisters that hold themselves well to the Word of God and do those things, there is a awe, there is a respect, there is a power that's there. Now, when we go on, we see that, so this is the type of woman that God is saying, this is an example. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. There it is again. When we talked about trustworthy men, we're also talking about trustworthy sisters. So the husband trusts her so that she shall have no need of spoil. Now we go down further. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. So as you look through all these scriptures, you see a woman that is very responsible. She is working very hard. She's working very diligently. She's not, I don't picture her as somebody that's keeping a mess at home. I picture her as somebody that's always looking to try to provide for her family and take care of her family and looking on into the future to ensure that her family is taken care of, right? And when you look at this, then you look at the characteristics of Sister Meadie in the message and how she was, you know, how she kept Brother Branham's shirts all pressed. You know, she took care of the home. She took care of the laundry. She took care of all those things so that he would not have to worry about them. And, you know, all he would have to worry about is the ministry and all the things surrounding the ministry, right? So she was a true sense, a helpmate for Brother Branham, right? She didn't complain. She did all these things because she knew that she was doing it not just for her husband, but she was serving the Lord. So you see these qualities. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She was not irresponsible. She ensured that everyone was provided for and they received their meat. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth the vineyard. So she was very resourceful. She had wisdom. She had some understanding of business so that she, again, can take care of her family. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So she worked pretty hard. The candle doesn't go out by night. She's burning it. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold a distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. So she not only had enough for her home to take care of the home, but she also had enough to give to those who had need outside of her home. So she thought of not just her family, but outside of her family. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So again, they're clothed. They're taken care of. They don't have shoes missing. They don't have shirts missing and things like that. She provided for them. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So now you have a man that is respected in the community. And I believe that the Lord is showing us that because of this woman, this man has strength and power in the community or respect. Now, I want to read a few things that go along associated with this. You see, Solomon brings this contrast about a good woman and a not-so-good woman. In the scripture, he says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. So if you're this type of woman, then you're going to be a crown to your husband. You're going to be a jewel. He's going to be very proud, and it's going to be you're going to be somebody that's very valuable to him, a partner with him in that way. But he says, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So you got the virtuous woman, and then you've got the one that makes ashamed. So rottenness in the bones. We obviously, as sisters, we don't want to be that type of woman. And we, as all of us, don't want to be that type of bride. Again, now Brother Branham says this in the choosing of a bride. Again, the kind of a woman that a man would choose will reflect his ambition and his character. So the person that you marry, that you choose, reflects what's in your heart, right? And I believe that a woman is also a reflection of the husband. So you can look at Ahab and Jezebel. You can look at different, you know, Brother Branham talks about the church being a reflection, right, of who her husband is. So we know the true bride, the reflection of the bride is, you know, following the word and all those qualities that the word is. But we see out in the church world about this other bride that's out there, so-called bride, and how she behaves. And we know who her husband is. Do you understand? And so, again, the kind of woman that a man would choose will reflect his ambition and his character. If a man chooses the wrong woman, it reflects his character. And what he ties himself to shows truly what's in him. A woman reflects what's in the man when he chooses her for a wife. So, unmarried brothers, you know, take note of that. Obviously, a very important decision. It shows what's down in him. No matter what he says outside, watch what he married. I go to a man's office, and he says he's a Christian, pinups all around on the walls, that old boogie-woogie music going on. I don't care what he says. I don't believe his testimony because his spirit is feeding on them things of the world. So we are who we are outside of church, right? We are. And so what? Say if he would marry a chorus girl, or what if he would marry a sex queen or just a pretty modern raquette? It reflects, it shows what he has in his mind of what his future home is going to be. Or he doesn't care what it's going to be. Because he's took her to raise his children by, and whatever she is, that's the way she'll raise those children. So it reflects what's in the man. A man that takes a woman like that shows just what he's thinking of the future. Now, as I'm continuing to read, just keep in mind what I said about the offenses, right? And so if, you know, just take it and just ponder on it. And then, of course, if you want to talk to me about it, then please do so. Could you imagine a Christian doing a thing like that? No, sir, I could not. A true Christian will not look for such beauty queens and chorus girls and sex queens. He'll look for Christian character. Amen. Now, I'm going to read one more, and then we're going to go back to the scripture. And, man, time is flying so fast. And remember, in that time, this is another quote, O Lord, just once more, 1963. And remember, in that time, all the ministers given, Jezebel was the leader. Listen. Ahab himself was a pretty nice guy. See, but we know that Jezebel was driving the train, right? Jezebel was the neck behind the head. So it's very important who we marry, right? And so we know that the right kind of woman is, as we are led by Christ as husbands, leading the family that she will follow, right? But if we marry the wrong woman, it's going to be contentious. And Brother Branham talks about that, the scripture talks about that contentiousness. I think I lost it here, but you remember the scripture about contentious woman is like a drip on the head in a rainy day? So contentiousness goes back to the whole unity and harmony thing. A woman that's always like, you know, trying to be, being contrary in things, not a good thing. Now, so he says, listen, Ahab himself was a pretty nice guy, but Jezebel was the neck behind the head. She was the one who did it. She was the renegade. I ain't got nothing against that man as a president, but it's that Jezebel system that's behind it. Can't you see these popes and things coming in now? One is raising that. Don't know Joseph. And the first thing you know, we are right now asking the Protestant church to consolidate with it. And every organization will grow right into the Federation of Churches, and there you are trapped. So he's now relating into the spiritual sense. Now, I'm going to take this thought with you just here for a second. You know how Brother Branham says, like, a true man, not a sissy, will not let his wife do these things, like, you know, mow the yard, you know, in shorts, and cut her hair, wear her makeup, and all those different things. And so immediately, you know, when you think of the carnal way, then you think, okay, so I need to have an iron grip on my wife in order for her not to do this, right? But then you take the rest of the message and he says, you know, she's not a doormat, right? And then you take the rest of the characteristics of Christ, of how he won his bride into following him. And so how did that happen? It was by love being projected, right? It was by perseverance. It was by patience. But it wasn't by force. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when he says that a true man will not let his wife do this, a true man will love his wife so much that he will love her in a way that Christ loved the church and stay with it and persevere in patience and having the faith in the Lord that will deliver and pray, I believe that's the type of man that he's talking about. Because when he talks about manliness, he's talking about a man that is on his knees praying, that has bags on it. That's what he defines as a man. So when we take these things, we need to not take them in a carnal sense, but take them in a spiritual sense. Same thing with children. You know, they are to obey, they are to mind, and they are to be in obedience. But it must be the love that's projected and patience and those different things. Because if we're not careful, then it'll be like a dictatorship. And we know the result of that. Dictatorships, they always eventually run into rebellion and overthrow, right? And so, but the Lord has it right in the middle. So it's balanced between the discipline and the chastisement and the love, right in the middle. And so it always works out perfectly fine. Amen. Now, time, it's going fast. Okay. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So she, because she is that type of woman, she is linked to her husband, and her husband can benefit because of his wife, how she is. Now, she maketh linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So when you look at a sister that defines these things, strength and honor are her clothing. She's an honorable woman. She has virtue behind her. She's very respectable. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. So she has wisdom. And in her tongue is a law of kindness. So again, showing the attributes of Christ within her. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So she's not wasting her time. Forgive me if it's ouch on social media. Or, you know, I mean, shopping is okay, right? And doing those things. But, you know, there's a balance, right? And getting too much on these things, the internet and social media and all those Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. There's a balance there, but she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's always doing something productive, redeeming the time, as the scripture says. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Just respects her so much because of who she is. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. So when you look at what that is defined as, charm, elegance. So when you look at those things can be nice on the outside, right? But that's not what we should be looking for. That's not what should be in our wives. That's what not we should be in us as sisters. And for the brothers, what you're looking for in a wife, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Don't look at beauty. Don't let that be the primary thing. It's vain. It doesn't mean much. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. So what is she like spiritually, you know? How is she like? You can tell certain things about spirituality. You know, they're very consistent. Come into the house of God. You know, they come early and they're in prayer and things, and you see that consistently. Maybe they're doing things that not for show, but to do things on a consistent basis to help the body. You know, whether little things around the church or what. What not? Maybe it's not necessarily the sisters that are always talking to the gentlemen, right? Or doing things that are not in that category that I just mentioned, right? They like to socialize and do all the other things and be around the brothers and things like that. You know, maybe we can look at that. So he says this, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. I'm going to bring one more example. I think that's all I have time for. If you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. Am I making any headway with anyone? Are we assimilating here? Okay. It's always good to get feedback how things are going. Know that you're alive. Know that the devil's not working there to make you fall asleep, you know, those type of things. Okay, so here's the story of Abigail, 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I believe we all understand of Abigail was a outstanding sister in the scriptures. And so I'm going to read a couple scriptures here, and then we're going to have to close. So verse 2, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding. So it says, when you define that, prudence, insight, understanding, or wise, and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doing, and he was of the house of Caleb. And so we know that David was going into this country, and he was trying to pass through, and he was trying to get favor with Nabal, and so he was doing everything very respectful of Nathan's or Nabal's property. So his men were there, he talked with the men, he ensured that the men that he ran into, that he was respectful with them, and then didn't mess up anything of his land. And he also sent a very respectful message to Nabal, said that, hey, you know, we would like to get some help here, different things. And he was very respectful in that message sent to the messengers. But Nabal, we know that he did not respect David. And he returned the kindness with unkindness. And so after that, then David was wroth, and then he was going to take 400 men and kill off Nabal's folks and his property and different things like that. And so one of the men said, hey, this is what your husband said, you know, and then said, hey, these men, David's men, they have been nothing but good to us. And then so she takes this in and she said, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles, this is verse 18, bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And so it goes down and you go down to verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. So she had wisdom. Now, in the scriptures, it says that we need to be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And so she, God gave her, I believe, an understanding and wisdom. And so she knew how to approach David in the right way. So bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. And of course, she sent all these gifts to David. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. So she gave those gifts. She had a right, humble approach to David, and she asked for forgiveness. And then she said, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all these days. And so, obviously, we know the end of the story, that David takes this, and he forgives, and he says, it's because of what you have done this day that the anger has been appeased. And so we see later that because of Nabal's iniquity, God let this thing come to the right end. And so what he did was eventually Nabal, when he heard of what happened, then something struck him, he fell sick, and then he just died right there. And David accepted Abigail as his wife. And so we see that she had this wisdom, and she had an understanding, and she had a lot of these virtues that you see in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, that were in Abigail and displayed. And so let's all stand, if we would. I'm sorry I had to rush through that character. I think there's a lot more to gain through that. There's a few more scriptures talking about the sisters, but I think because of time, we have to go. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for thy word once again, O Lord. And we are so very thankful for every piece of your grace that you've given into our lives. How you've given us a pastor. How you've given us a church, an assembly. How you've given us wonderful brothers and sisters. This meeting that we have, O Lord, opening our eyes to the message of the hour, O Lord, providing for our every needs, O Lord. There's so many things that we can say and be thankful for, O Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our brothers and sisters that are here this morning. And Lord, as we go to the service, O Lord, take full control, O Lord Jesus. Lord, of the song service and the preaching of the word, O Lord, the baptisms that's going to take place, O Lord Jesus, O Father, it's all in your hands, O Father, and let you get all the glory and honor. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all things, and we ask that you would just continue to help us to walk in the ways, O Lord. Let the words sink in our hearts and minds, O Lord Jesus, so they can take root, O Father, and let there be no obstacle, we ask. We ask all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.